Well, hello and welcome back to The Sweet Spot, now proudly sponsored by AK Bets. I'm James Mason and I'm once again joined by Steve Palmer. Now, I've got lots to talk about. We will be reviewing the two events from last week on the PGA Tour and LIV Golf before also previewing the small matter of the Masters, the first major of the season. Who will be slipping on the coveted green jacket? We'll get Steve's thoughts on that a little bit later in the show. But as always, it's great to have everyone tuning into the latest show. So please do like, subscribe, share and comment. We love to hear your thoughts on the golfing matters in the world. But welcome back, Steve. I mean, last week we were on the show, you said you were rubbing shoulders with celebrities on the golf course and you were trying to ensure your son didn't sit on your new dog. So what's been happening since then?
Well, the dog survived. I'm pleased to report the dog survived. Now, I'm massively pumped up about this week. Masters week is my favourite golf betting week of the year. Delighted to have AK Bets as our new sponsor. This is an intrepid, independent bookmaker. Big prices, big limits is their motto. And these are the sort of bookies that we need more than ever these days. It's not just about finding the winners these days, James. It's about finding somewhere to get your bet on. AK Bets, happy to take decent sized wagers. So, yeah, I'm delighted to have AK Bets sponsoring our show now.
Yeah, fantastic to have them as the sponsors. Obviously, we'll touch on the Masters as we get into the show. But excitement absolutely ramping up ahead of this one. I mean, I've looked at some of the stories that are coming out actually ahead of the tournament. You've got a few LIV golfers coming out and saying a little bit, aren't they? You've had Wacky Neiman saying that the world golf rankings are a lie. You've got John Rahm saying, well, I knew that my switch to LIV could make a big impact on the golfing world, but he's also said he wants LIV to go to 72 holes now. I mean, what is going on?
That's because he's no good at 54 holes. He needs another round because he peters out. Well, I don't know whether that helped John Rahm. Yeah, it's all very tedious, isn't it? I mean, last week was disappointing not to get a pre-Masters flip. You know, I look at the early months of the year, all about building the pot for the Masters because it's such a good betting event with the small field. You can rule out so many players. I always look to win as much as I can in the early months of the year and peak for the Masters. Last week I thought Alex Norum was going to give us a little pre-Masters flip. He was seventh going into the final round and I thought he was going to place, but disappointing Sunday. But yeah, no joy last week. But I feel like the Lord is saving our joy for this week. And I thank him for that.
Have you got your green jacket pressed and ready to put on? I do remember you were celebrating that green jacket 2022 when Scottie Scheffler came through for you.
I will dig that out for Sunday because we've got a watch along, haven't we, on Sunday night from 7:30 p.m. I believe. So I will try and find that green jacket. It's deep in the wardrobe. It only comes out once a year. I've got the green jumper on, which is my standard for the Tuesday sweet spot in Masters week. So yeah, no, I'm fully focused. I'm fully focused. I'm green. I'm excited. Are you excited, James?
I am excited. I mean, I absolutely love the Masters and I'm going to try to catch as much as I can of it. I'm actually over in Brussels Friday, Saturday and Sunday, organised a stag do. So we'll see how much of it I can watch. But we have said Saturday we're going to find somewhere just to get the Masters on.
And it's a great shame Thomas Peters is not playing. I mean, there'd be a lot of people. You might bump into Thomas Peters crying into his Stellar Artois there because it says a lot about LIV, doesn't it? You mentioned LIV. You know, Thomas Peters, would he be playing in the Masters if he stuck with the PGA Tour and kept his world ranking? Who knows? But we're not here to talk about Thomas Peters. We're here to talk about who's playing in this Masters.
We are indeed. But as mentioned there a few times, AK Bets, they are the brand new sponsor of The Sweet Spot, and they do have an excellent welcome offer for you. So if you place your first bet on a golf tournament winner market, you will get 50% of your stake back as a free bet. That's up to £50 if your player misses the cut. Now, there are terms and conditions that apply to this, and you have to use the code SWEETSPOT50 when signing up. But that's the fantastic offer that AK Bets has available for you ahead of the Masters. And if all of this isn't enough excitement for you there, Steve alluded to just before, the Sweet Spot Live is back for the watch-along of the final round of the Masters this Sunday, 7:30 p.m. You'll have Jack Reeve, Steve Palmer, of course, and also other special guests will be joining throughout the evening. It's live on the Racing Post YouTube and Facebook pages from 7:30 p.m. like I said there on Sunday. So please do join us for that. It will be a fantastic watch along and fingers crossed it's like it was in 2022 for Steve when he was celebrating with the arms up in the air. But let's move on to the tournament review then before we do look at the event coming up at Augusta National. And the first one then from last week on the PGA Tour, the Texas Open. And, well, it was won by Akshay Bhatia. However, it looked as if it was going to be a procession for Bhatia. He went six shots ahead at one point in the final round. And then Denny McCarthy, out of absolutely nowhere, just thought, you know what, I'm on the back nine. I'm going to make 8 out of 9 birdies on the turn home. And then he just lost it in the playoff, unfortunately. And for Denny McCarthy, it's another missed opportunity. But for Akshay Bhatia, it's another sort of notch to him and how well he's sort of coming through the ranks.
Yeah, I mean, Denny McCarthy, big question marks about his temperament. You mentioned the birdie charge, but when it came to the crunch, that fatted wedge into the water in the first playoff hole, it was disgusting, wasn't it? Absolutely disgusting for a professional golfer to do that. It wasn't even close to getting over the water. So Denny McCarthy, yeah, be very wary of backing him in future. Akshay Bhatia, massively talented player. He was 60-1 last week. Yeah, really crisp ball striker, shot maker. Putting is his weakness. But when he putts, well, he's got a great chance. That's 2 PGA Tour titles now at the age of 22. I think Bhatia's got a massive future in the sport. Obviously, he's booked a ticket to the Masters this week. Masters debut for Akshay Bhatia. Hopefully, his shoulder's better because he celebrated a putt and his shoulder sort of popped out, didn't it? You know, I think he'll be back to fitness. I think it's only a minor injury. But yeah, be interesting to see how Bhatia goes because yeah, he's got a big future in this game.
Yeah, I mean, that was an incredible story that when you heard Bhatia said that he dislocated his shoulder celebrating on the 72nd hole and it popped back in. But he says it happens a lot. He says it pops back, it pops out, really? Pops back in. Then he had to get a bit of treatment on it. It was, you know, as if just searching for somebody to help him before that playoff hole. And to be honest, for McCarthy, it's even worse, that, isn't it? Because you've got an injured player that you're going up against and you chunk, like you said, your approach shot into the water. McCarthy's best aspect of his game is the putting. It always has been. But you mentioned the question mark on him. How much will this play on his mind now, this latest missed opportunity?
Yeah, I think he'd be devastated. He came close to winning when Victor Hovland pipped him. He's been pipped by Victor Hovland. Now he's been pipped by Akshay Bhatia. Yeah, I think he'd be a broken man. He's playing in the Masters again this week. So, yeah, he needs to shrug that off quickly. But, yeah, I'd be very wary of backing Denny McCarthy, but I'd be very excited about backing Akshay Bhatia. Don't back him this week. Masters debutants never do well. But in the future, have him massively on your radar.
Very good. Any other sort of performances you took out of the PGA Tour event, or was that about it from it?
No. It was just an air of disappointment for the punting community because you had Bhatia and McCarthy would not have been well backed. You know, they're in a playoff in Texas. And then in LIV Golf Miami, you had Dean Burmester and Sergio García. Very difficult to find for that one. So, yeah, I was really hoping that us punters would get a pre-Masters fillip, but it didn't come.
Yeah, it didn't come. And you mentioned there, Dean Burmester, the South African, managing to win LIV Golf at Miami. García, obviously beating him in a playoff. Matthew Wolff was 10 under then. He was behind them. But we mentioned before, John Rahm, obviously defending champion at the Masters. And again, he's in and around there, but he didn't manage to get it done on the, say, the final round, the 54 holes that they play. He won 72, like you said. But yeah, disappointment again for the Spaniard, it seems.
Yeah. Every single LIV appearance from Rahm has been exactly the same. Got in contention and been pretty poor at the death. We'll get on to John Rahm later in our Masters preview. Dean Burmester be very, very fortunate about winning that because Sergio García had a very short putt to win in regulation play. All his family and friends gathered around the green again. Sergio García has never won a LIV title. And he seems to put added pressure on himself by inviting his whole family there, all the kids, all, the wife. Yeah, I think there's some uncles and aunties there. It was great disappointment for García and Burmester's maiden LIV Golf title.
Yeah, there we go. Excitement for Burmester. But they are the two tournaments that took place last week. Now let's move on to what is the big one happening today. The excitement ahead of it. Augusta National Golf Club, the Masters, the first major of the season. Plenty of storylines going into this, but I mean, I know everyone probably knows Augusta, but tell us a bit about the course then, Steve. Tell us where the big holes could be, where things could be won and lost.
Augusta National, Augusta, Georgia, 7,555 yards now. We're 10 yards longer than last year. They've pushed the tee back at the par 5 second hole. It's a par 72, 4 par 5s, home of the Masters since 1934. We're normally in April, but we had a November Masters in 2020 due to COVID-19. This is a second shot course, generous fairways, but tiny targets on approach, well-guarded greens, and you've got to get your ball on the right section of these greens or you're staring at a three-putt. They're fast, they're undulating. Length off the tee, a significant advantage. You want to be coming into these greens with as much loft as possible in your hands. Only two of the last 23 Masters have been won by a short hitter. Mike Weir in 2003, Zach Johnson in 2007. But accurate approach play is the key to success. We've got a field of 89 going to post. The weather forecast is mixed, James. Some rain on Thursday and some moderate breezes. Clearer skies on Friday, but breezy again. But then a sunny, calm weekend. So excited about the weekend play. We're going to see loads of birdies at the weekend. As Alan Partridge once said prior to a lovemaking session in a travel tavern, let battle commence.
You know, I'm never quite sure what I'm going to get from you, Steve, in terms of comments, but Alan Partridge line was not in there. But you know what? It's always fantastic and entertaining. Let's just run through the outright prices in the market then for the Masters before we get into your selections and your reasoning why. AK Bets, these prices are coming from, by the way, they're the proud new sponsors of the Sweet Spot. Now, Scottie Scheffler is the 5-1 favourite, the very warm favourite as well when you look at the next closest in the betting, and that is Rory McIlroy at 12-1, trying to complete the Grand Slam. 10th attempt he will have at completing the Grand Slam. Rory McIlroy is this his year. John Rahm, we mentioned before then, the defending champion, he is 14-1. Xander Schauffele looking to break his major duck, he's 16-1. Brooks Koepka, 22-1, as is Hideki Matsuyama and Jordan Spieth. Of course, Spieth and Matsuyama, both winners at Augusta. Joaquin Niemann, one of the LIV golfers, 28-1. Ludwig Aubert, 33-1. The rookie, will he be able to break what has been a long time until a rookie or a debutant won at this course? And then the rest are bar. So then, Steve, it's the big drum roll for it, but how many selections do we have?
Oh! Come on.
That's better. That is better. That much better than last. It doesn't matter about the dog. The dog's fine. Right. Four selections for the Masters.
Forget the dog. Come on. It's Masters week. Who is and who isn't? Who is and who isn't? The dog's really have to get used to this.
Well, that's it. You know, he will learn. He will learn the dog. Or she. Is it he? Is it he, the dog? Yes.
It's Coco. It's hard to tell, isn't it? How do you tell what sex a dog is? It's virtually impossible.
Unless you turn them over and rub their belly, but it's all right. Right, four selections, Steve.
My cup of tea.
Headline pick.
Scottie Scheffler, 5-1. Can you believe 5-1 is available? That is an industry top price with AK Bets. It's a massive price, in my humble opinion. Each way terms of a fifth the odds, the first five places. That's a package that will allow you to fund the win part of your bet with the place part. Can you find me five players to beat Scottie Scheffler over 72 holes this week, James?
Probably not with the form that he's in.
Yeah. I think you'll struggle. If you want to play win only at 5-1, that's a perfectly acceptable tactic too. This is by far the most likely winner of this tournament. He's a class apart from the rest of the field. And what is the right price about Scottie Scheffler winning this tournament? I think it's significantly shorter than 5-1. Remember, this is a tiny field. The course is perfect for him. I want you to imagine a horse race, James. You like your horse racing, don't you? If there was a horse in a race that you can imagine winning that race by 10 lengths, say, you'd be absolutely over the moon to get 5-1 about him just winning, about that horse just winning the race, wouldn't you? I mean, I think you need to get your imagination. You'd be foaming at the mouth, James, wouldn't you? If you had a horse that you thought could win by 10 lengths, you thought it was conceivable it could win by 10 lengths, and you're getting 5-1 for it to win the race.
It's like getting Kato Starr at any point when he was racing at that price.
Absolutely. It would be odds on, wouldn't it? Be odds on in that scenario. And that's how I see Scheffler this week. Is there anyone that would be surprised if Scheffler won this tournament by 5 or 6 shots? I wouldn't be surprised. Scheffler wouldn't be surprised. Everyone lining up against him is aware of his potential to dominate this event. And as I say, a horse with the potential to dominate a horse race would be odds on. I'm not suggesting Scheffler should be odds on. Obviously, he's got 88 horses to beat this week, but I think anyone not backing Scottie Scheffler is missing out on a really great bet. And I'm delighted that 5-1 has been thrown up by AK Bets there. He's so confident. He's so calm. He's got the best temperament in the game. He was practicing at Augusta last weekend, all smiles. He's peerless from tee to green. His ball striking statistics have been similar to a peak Tiger Woods for a while now. He's become a more consistent putter since switching to the mallet at Bay Hill. He won the Players' Championship a month ago, despite being handicapped for two rounds. He had a bad neck injury. That neck injury was bad. He couldn't move very well. He had a bad neck injury from Friday morning until Sunday afternoon. He's won three of his last nine tournaments, James. He's finished in the top 20 in all of them. He's never finished outside the top 20 at Augusta. He won the Masters comfortably 2 years ago. He's got the best caddy. It's just not fair. Not only is he the best player, he's got the best caddy, because Ted Scott has been a Masters winning caddy three times. Ted Scott got Bubba Watson to win two Masters. And then he won one with Scheffler. Scheffler and Scott is such a great alliance. They hardly ever make any serious course management errors. He's first on the PGA Tour for strokes gained on approach, the key stat this week. He's first for greens in regulation. And the icing on the cake, James. The icing on this cake is that the late early side of the draw seems set to get slightly better conditions. Thursday morning looks like being tougher than Friday morning. The Masters committee always feel those last few groups with star quality, don't they? Yeah, it sort of builds. Thursday nearly always builds. You have to wait so long for all the best players to come out. I'd be staggered if Scottie Scheffler isn't out late. So I think he's going to get even a slightly better draw. You're actually going to get a slight draw bias in his favour, I think. In my humble opinion, this will not be beaten.
Gosh, there we are. I don't think there's any need for the other three selections. We, of course, will do the other three selections. But if that was a tick list, then it'll be green all the way. You know, if you were looking at different products, you know, as a different players and you saw who's got what, it would just be all tick, 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 tick down Scheffler. So, yeah, that's a very, very strong case made for the 2022 champion to get his second green jacket. I did see as well that, you know, the industry leading price from AK Betts is fantastic, but I have seen him shorter elsewhere. And he's the shortest price favourite for the Masters since Tiger Woods in 2013, when Woods was around 3-1. So it just shows you how the kind of form Scheffler is in and where he is with his game at the moment. But if
he hits his ball like Tiger Woods. He's the first person to find that level of consistency on the ball striking that Tiger had. So he's got every right to be this price. I think 5-1 is enormous.
Yeah, no, I'd absolutely agree. You do look at it and you think that's a very good price. But if Scheffler doesn't somehow do it, who is going to be your next best to get in behind him?
It's Bryson DeChambeau, who is 35-1. 35-1 with AK Betts. I think Bryson DeChambeau is the main threat to Scottie Scheffler this week. I think we get a 1-2 of Dallas residents. They both live in Dallas. I don't think they hang out much. They're very contrasting characters, but they may have to play alongside each other at Augusta on Sunday. DeChambeau became a major champion by winning the US Open in 2020. He hasn't managed to contend at Augusta yet. This will be his eighth appearance. But as I mentioned last week, I love the modern DeChambeau. I love the 30-year-old DeChambeau. I think he's a more mature character these days. I think he's a more balanced player these days. And I think he's ready to have a serious crack at winning the green jacket. He was talking last week in Miami about how happy he is with his equipment. He says he can't remember ever being so content with every club in his bag. That's significant for a professional golfer. And that comfort is showing in his play. He's been swinging really well, hitting his ball well. His LIV Golf form figures from his last three starts are 4-7-7. He closed at Doral on Sunday with a tidy round of 68. And I think his bad record at Augusta has been overplayed. He was low amateur, James, on his Masters debut in 2016. He finished 21st in 2016. He was joint leader after round one in 2019. He didn't miss a cut at Augusta until 2022. And that year, he was really struggling with injuries. He had wrist problems. He had hip problems. He was in poor form coming into that event. He was injured. So huge excuses for the 2022 failure. He missed the cut again last year. It was only by a shot. He arrived in poor form. This time, a completely different animal coming to Augusta. In the last 12 months, he's got himself healthy. He's got himself back to his best. He nearly won LIV Andalathea in July. Then he won LIV Greenbrier by 6 shots in August. He carded a Sunday 58. Then he won LIV Chicago in September. Don't forget, he finished fourth in the USPGA last year. Yeah, this is an elite golfer we're talking about here. He's won as many PGA Tour titles as Scottie Scheffler. It's easy to forget how good Bryson DeChambeau is. I think he's being too easily dismissed this week. I think he's a massive runner.
Yeah, no, it's a big case about DeChambeau, isn't it? Like you said, he's gone less about so much power, and like he's lost some of the bulk, like we said last week as well. So he looks like a fitter, you know, he's stripped a bit better for this one. And in case I've missed something, but does he still have the clubs, his irons, which are all the same, or like 7-iron length or something like that?
He does. But I would urge you to go back and look at the 2016 Masters and look at the pictures of him in the 2016 Masters when he finished 21st and played really well. He's thin. He's lean. He didn't always.
That with the cap on when he used to have the flat cap.
Yes, he was known as the mad scientist back then. He went from being the mad scientist to the incredible Hulk. It's an amazing transformation. But now he's going slightly back to being the mad scientist. I think people are dismissing him because it's very easy just to go, oh, miscut. No, we'll move on. But there were massive excuses for those miscuts. He was injured in 2022. And last year, another point I'd like to make is he's a much more sensitive character than people give him credit for. And I think all that LIV Golf PGA Tour hostility last year unsettled him more than it did others. Yeah, I mean, Brooks Koepka's got the hide of a rhino, isn't he? He's got very thick skin, so he was able to shrug it off. But I think DeChambeau found it a bit awkward last year. That's less of a factor this year. I think 35-1 DeChambeau is enormous.
Very good. So we've got Scheffler as the headline pick. We've got DeChambeau as the number two. Who's coming in at number three?
It's Sahith Theegala, who is 50-1 with AK Betts. Another juicy price. I think Augusta and Sahith Theegala could be a match made in heaven. I think Theegala is almost certain to wear a green jacket one day. The course plays massively to his strengths. Maybe that jacket will come sooner rather than later. He's relatively long off the tee. He's typically accurate on approach. He's got a short game to die for. And he finished ninth on his Masters debut 12 months ago. Since that brilliant debut, he's become a PGA Tour champion. He nearly won again in the century in Hawaii at the start of the year. He was runner-up at Kapalua. And his form figures from his last six tournaments show a lovely Masters build-up. 25, 37, 6, 9, 28. He was the best putter in the field at Sawgrass. And then his ball striking was magnificent last time out in the Houston Open. He could put it all together in the Masters. I think you get a great run for your money off Theegala this week.
Very good. That was, I have to say, that was probably not a name I was expecting to crop up. But you know, there's so much quality in this star-studded field. That's Theegala. Looks like a big, big price and a good argument there. Fourth and final selection then. What's rounding us off?
It's Sepp Straka, who is 225-1 with AK Betts. The best outsider in the field for me. He's lived in Georgia since he was 14. He's teeing up in his adopted home state this week. He's got Masters form figures of 30-46. So he's serving his Augusta apprenticeship well. Since his last Masters start, he's greatly impressed in major competition. He was seventh in the USPGA last year. He was second in the Open Championship. Then he played his part in a victorious European Ryder Cup side. So his career has been elevated hugely since the last Masters. He was second behind Scottie Scheffler in the Hero World Challenge in December. Another great performance. Then he became a father just before Christmas, and a quiet spell has followed that. Baby Leo, his son Baby Leo, has become the focus. But there have been signs in recent weeks that Straka Sr. is getting his act together again. He's knuckling down again. He was third for greens in regulation in the Players' Championship a month ago. His swing is back in good condition. He's getting back in a groove. He could be peaking in time to shock the world and win the Masters. 225-1 is an enormous price about Sepp Straka. You'll remember Danny Willett. You'll remember Danny. Are you a Yorkshireman, James? Yeah. You're a proud
not
Yorkshireman.
Yorkshireman.
You're not a proud, are you? Well,
no, I'm from.
You're
I'm
a northerner.
Northumberland.
You're from.
Yeah, oh yeah, true. You know, Northumberland, like, a true northerner.
A true northerner. Well, Danny Willett, you must remember Danny Willett in 2016. You know, shock winner of the Masters soon after becoming a father. Yeah, the nappy factor. The nappy factor we often talk about on this podcast struck that year. I think a similar story could unfold for Sepp Straka. Don't rule out Sepp Straka.
Again, I remember Willett definitely because I, as always around that time, had Lee Westwood for the Masters. And seem to remember Westwood chipped in off the back of the par five for an eagle or birdie, I think it was, himself right up there. And then the next hole, he bogeyed it. And you thought, that's classically Westwood.
Yeah, it was a dramatic finish, wasn't it? Dramatic finish.
I can't lose any money, though, on Lee Westwood because he's not in the field. So
no, that's it.
Okay.
No, no.
That's, That's not somebody I have to look at, thankfully. But those are the four selections you've got for anyway. Sepp Straka rounding the fourth and final one. Let's just look at some of the players then towards the top of the market that you have decided to not go for. And obviously the big one here is Rory McIlroy, 12-1 with AK Betts. What's putting you off? Because you mentioned the strokes gained approach was a reasoning for Scottie Scheffler. That's when McIlroy did really well last week in the Texas Open, wasn't it? He was third in strokes gained approach. So the chat he had with Butch Harmon, he mentioned, seems to have maybe helped to swing a little bit. But is there just something that's niggling at you with him?
He'll be delighted with his approach play stats last week. Yeah. He may have timed that well. It had been rubbish for a while, and then it came back last week. I wouldn't credit Butch Harmon with that. Butch Harmon's just a sort of psychological impact on players now. He hardly says anything. It's like when I used to be assistant professional at Cane Down Golf Course, and I had to step in and do some lessons. If you just say, oh, back and through, you can get away with doing a lesson. Yeah, £25, back and through, well done, £25. I think Butch is more of a, you know, he gets players in the right mindset. He makes them feel, 10 feet tall. So I don't think it was a technical aspect of that chat with Harmon. But Rory would be pleased with that. But I just can't see it happening. I just can't see it happening. I can see Scheffler winning by six shots. I can't see McIlroy holding it together down the stretch. I mean, he was in such good form coming to Augusta last year, James. Yeah, rewind 12 months. He was in brilliant form. His approach play had been excellent for months. I mean, you mentioned last week's approach play, but coming into last year's Masters, I was so excited for Rory because his approach play had been building and building and building and looked so tight. He was saying the right things. You know, he seemed in better shape mentally last year than ever before. It looked like the moment had finally come. Then he carded a Friday 77, missed the cut by two shots. I mean, I fancied him much more last year than this year. You know, the weight of history on McIlroy's shoulders every time he sets foot at Augusta National. He's actually delaying his arrival this time. He's tried everything, isn't he? He's not turning up until Tuesday afternoon. And then he's skipping the par three competition for the first time. So he's changing his tactics, but I still think he'll be full attention on the first tee on Thursday. Completing the career Grand Slam is such a huge psychological hurdle to jump. Can you see him holding it together down the stretch on Sunday with a chance?
It's tough because there's certain bits about McIlroy going into it that I do like. And I actually mentioned last year you thought mentally he was in a really good position. But I was slightly different last year because of the live conflict and how fractious it was. And also there's one moment where he decided to don a microphone, didn't he, on the ninth hole last year. Sure. And do the interview while he's playing the hole. Yeah. And all I was thinking is, where's your head at? Why on earth are you talking to somebody and telling players, like telling the public how you're hitting a shot when you're chipping up to the ninth hole in one of the biggest events in golf? For me, he wasn't quite there mentally last year. I do quite like him coming into this one, but again, it's that hurdle of the Grand Slam. That's the one, isn't it? I mean, there's only five players to do the modern Grand Slam. To join that would be fantastic.
He's trying to do something that no one has really done. I mean, Gene Sarazen completed the career Grand Slam at Augusta in 1935, but that was only the second Masters. The Masters was not a big deal in 1935. So I would say he'd be the first player to complete the Grand Slam at the proper Masters, if you know what I mean. I mean, there's more fanfare about it now. Social media is all over it. I mean, I think he's trying to achieve something that no one has essentially done. And remember, he hasn't won a major for 10 years, or, you know, almost 10 years. I feel that he needs to win one of the other majors to end that drought, to end the majors drought, get one monkey off his back. He's got two monkeys on his back at the moment, James. You can't swing a golf club with two monkeys on your back.
They're pesky things, aren't they?
Oh, they get everywhere, don't they? But I think if he gets one of those monkeys off his back and wins another major, I think he'd probably win the USPGA. I'll come on to our majors accolade. I think he might get that one monkey off his back at the USPGA, but I just think it's too much. I think it's too much. If he achieves it, there won't be a dry eye in the house. You know, obviously as punters, our bets come first. But as a neutral, there's no one you'd like to see more. And if he does it'd be one of the greatest sporting achievements of all time to do it under that pressure.
Yeah, no, I'd absolutely agree. So just veering away from McIlroy then in the market, John Rahm, 14-1 with AK Betts. Is he just a little bit undercooked? The preparation's not as good as it was when he won?
Well, yes. for starters, he hasn't competed the week before the Masters since 2017. So we know his preference before the Masters is to have a week off. Obviously, he signed for LIV. He was obliged to play LIV Miami last week. His build-up to this Masters is different to his build-up for any other Masters that he's played in. I think that in itself is unsettling him. Yeah, there's been lots of comments. You can tell Rahm is missing these big events that he used to play in. You know, he seemed particularly gutted about missing Riviera. He often brings up all these tournaments that he's missing. I think he's unsettled by this build-up. He doesn't know whether it will impact negatively on his majors performance, but he knows there's a chance that it might well do. He hasn't looked happy on the LIV circuit all year. I mean, I probably watch more LIV golf than anybody on the planet, James, which I know is nothing to be proud of. But Rahm's been terrible under pressure in LIV events. He's got into the thick of things, as you alluded to earlier. He's got into the thick of things in every event. He set up winning chances in every event. Then he's played the final few holes poorly. All five LIV events, his scoring average over the final few holes of the LIV events is worse than almost anybody on the LIV roster. So I think his confidence has been dented by those late flops. And defending champions, James. Defending champions at Augusta never really relax until the Wednesday of tournament week. Yeah, that champions dinner on the Tuesday night is a big deal for them. Rahm was talking last week about how nervous he is about doing that speech on the Tuesday night. Yeah, you've got a room full of legends. You've picked the menu. You've got to do an after dinner speech. Yeah, it was a nightmare for Scheffler last year, given all the PGA Tour LIV Golf drama. And Rahm, yeah, one final point. Rahm's going to face a difficult media conference. Remember, this is the first media conference he's done in a room full of proper journalists. You know, since he switched to LIV, he's going to have loads of difficult questions to answer. I think he's going to be tense all week. I think there's good reasons why he's a bigger price than he was last year for this.
Yeah, I think Rahm in his head, he was maybe expecting a merge to happen quicker between PGA, LIV, DP World Tour, and it's maybe not. And he's maybe starting to question a little bit how quickly things are going. And obviously the world golf ranking points hasn't come in for them either. They've given up on them. So,
yeah. He's never seemed happy.
Maybe questioning things a little.
He's never seemed happy. He's had the rabbit ears. He doesn't like the music playing while he's putting. You know, I don't think he likes the sort of amateurish. There's an amateurish feel about some of the LIV events. I mean, I saw Faldo mocking it the other day, saying, you know, Rahm's just been playing resort courses in his shorts. You know, he's not going to be ready for the Masters. Yeah, I don't think, you know, Rahm just has to keep checking his bank balance and he'll feel a bit better about things. It's just money, money, money for the LIV guys, isn't it? Yeah, everything else they just put to the back of their mind. They even were talking about it last week. Again, I was spending far too much time watching LIV Golf Miami. They were talking about how, I didn't realise this, you might be shocked by this as well, but Rahm was talking about how he has to pay for the dinner at the champions dinner at the Masters. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has to pay. They has to, the champion has to pay for the Masters dinner. So, yeah, I can't remember what he's serving up. He's got some paellas on the go, isn't he? But
there's a few of the Americans who've said, I have no idea what the food is on the menu and I don't want it translated either. That's what it is. Interesting with the Faldo thing, because he was talking about his Masters dinner and he said he did fish and chips, but he flew them all over from the Harry Ramsdens in the UK. And he says that was one of the best. Well, obviously, the guy is said that was one of the best Masters dinners I've ever had that he put on. So of course it was going to be good.
Must have been a bit cold by the time they got there. That was a strange move. But yeah, I find it, the LIV boys obviously obsessed with money. They really jumped on that story and grilled Rahm on it. You know, they make you pay for they make you pay for the dinner. So, but I think he can afford it, can't he?
Yeah, he's not sure of a bob or two. McIlroy, Rahm, Vedder, is there anyone else that you want to sort of mention towards the top of the market for why you've maybe not gone for them?
Well, I see Xander Schauffele is popular in the market again. I just don't trust him. I think he's lost a lot of the killer instinct he had when he first came onto the PGA Tour. And he's going through swing changes. He's been working with Chris Como on swing changes. I think it's too early in that process to be backing Schauffele to win majors. I'll have a closer look at Schauffele later in the year. I'm hoping he peaks for the Open Championship, James, because obviously the majors acca, we've got Scheffler at 9-1 in the majors acca for the Masters. Then McIlroy for the USPGA. I can see us winning the majors acca, and that'll solve a lot of problems. Schauffele, I don't understand why he's so popular this week. Brooks Koepka, do you want to talk about Brooks Koepka? We have to talk about Brooks Koepka.
I mean, He's obviously major machine, isn't he? That's what he was billed at, but not quite the preparation he wanted coming in.
He's the king of modern majors, isn't he? He's the best player of his generation in terms of majors. I mean, you know, Rory McIlroy is in the Full Swing episodes, those Netflix Full Swing episodes. You could see how gutted Rory McIlroy was when Koepka got that fifth major, because you know Koepka is now the undisputed best player of the 30-something generation. He's a year younger than McIlroy is Brooks Koepka. His Augusta record is good, really good. It's even better when you factor in how injured he was for a lot of his visits to the Masters. Yeah, the times that Koepka's flopped at the Masters is big when he's had serious injury issues. So, you know, Koepka, you have to give great respect to, but he just hasn't done enough for me lately, James. He finished 45th of 54 in Miami last week. I think that was alarmingly bad because he put a new mallet-headed putter in the bag last week for the first time. He was trying to do a Scottie Scheffler. He's obviously had putting issues, and he tried to do a Scottie Scheffler last week with the mallet putter. It didn't work. He was rubbish all week, and that put me off. I was put off Koepka last week by Live Miami, and I was put off by Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson was flat last week. I don't think he's peaking for this. Anyone else you want to talk about?
Would you put me off Tommy Fleetwood at 50-1 with AK bets? He just seems, I know he kind of, he's a bit like Schauffele in terms of just blobbing along a little bit, putting decent results now and again, but you know, can he get over the line in the major? But Fleetwood, I just think at one stage it might click for him. Can it click this week?
Well, I noticed last week, he switched tactics last week by playing in the Texas Open. That was the first time he'd done that. And they asked him why, and he said he wasn't happy with his driving. He said he needed to get his driver sorted before going to the Masters. So he had some confidence issues with the driver, which is off-putting. Fleetwood's never won a PGA Tour event. Can he win his first in the Masters? It's a big ask for me. I know a lot of people are backing Hideki Matsuyama. Hugely popular in the market, isn't he? We probably must mention Hideki Matsuyama.
I kind of wish he didn't perform kind of well last week, and he went into this one a little bit under the radar, because I think his odds would have been bigger, where I think he would have been maybe more of a better proposition to look at.
Well, I was absolutely shocked and appalled that he played last week, Jim. I couldn't believe it, because he's got so much going for him. His Masters record is fantastic. His current form is fantastic, but he hasn't got that physical solidity that you want from a bet at that price, has he? You know, his back can go at any moment. At Bay Hill last month, he was playing well, and then the back went, and his round four was abysmal. His fitness can come and go in a flash. And I know loads of people. I was in a toy shop on Sunday in Swanage, and I noticed that the proprietor of the toy shop had an open jacket on. So just while my kids were charging around, begging for everything in the toy shop, I said, "Oh, who'd you fancy for the Masters?" And he opened up a really long conversation. He was well up for a chat, and he was going, "Hideki Matsuyama." He wasn't Japanese. He was going, he said Hideki Matsuyama in a Swanish accent, and spent ages telling me why Hideki Matsuyama is going to win the Masters. And I just said to him, "Are you sure about his back? Are you sure about his back?" Because I just think it's too much of a gamble for me on at those prices on a player that his back can go. He could go lame at any moment. I think Jose Maria Lafable is more likely to complete the course than Hideki Matsuyama.
There you have it. Two more names, actually, just very, very quickly before we look into some specials that you picked up for the Masters. Cameron Smith, 50-1. However, had to withdraw after round one, wasn't it, the last week of Live Miami, with his illness, wasn't it, food poisoning. So yeah, That's probably a worry about him. And the other one is, well, go back to the end of the last PGA Tour season when Victor Hovland came out on top in the FedEx Cup. He's now 40-1. I know he's not in great form, but do you think a few people will be having a little nibble?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I know some people are having a little nibble. So I was in a betting shop yesterday, and I heard someone come in and have a little nibble on Victor Hovland. I felt like saying, do you know about his switch to a new coach and his swing issues? And yeah, I've been so disappointed with Victor Hovland. He's one of my favourite players. And I think changing coach after becoming FedEx Cup champion was such a crazy thing to do. And he hasn't played much this year. When he has played, he's just been disappointing. So maybe as a long-term project, it might work out for him. But I just could not understand the decision he made. And Hovland, nowhere near my thinking. Who was the other one you said? I'm sorry.
Cameron Smith.
Oh, Cameron Smith, yeah. I mean, it was food poisoning last week, so you assume food poisoning will clear up unless it was a particularly bad dose of the runs. I would imagine he'll be all right for the Masters. But yeah, I think he's just lost his competitive edge. I mean, we're talking about the effect that Liv has had on Rahm, and his preparation is perhaps not as sharp as he'd like to be going into the Masters. You know, Smith's been on the Liv circuit for much longer. And I just get an air that he's losing his competitive edge. And you know, he was so disappointing in that playoff when we were on him in Liv Hong Kong. Hit a terrible approach from a prime position in the fairway. So, yeah, I've got no confidence in Cam Smith. He's obviously got the tools for Augusta, but I just think he's lost his edge. So, I mean, Jordan Spieth, we can't really go into the Masters without mentioning him. That would probably be the last name we should mention. Jordan Spieth, you have to fear Jordan Spieth because he loves Augusta. Augusta loves him. I just think he's got one or two card busters in him. You mentioned the one that Willett won. There was a car buster there, wasn't there? I think he's got some car busters. I just don't think he's quite playing well enough to win this, but I do fear him. And then Wackham Neiman, I promise you that was the last one I was going to mention, but come on, it's Masters Week and we're all up for it. Who is and who isn't? Wackham Neiman, zero top tens in 19 major starts. I mean, his major record is not good enough for me to play him at those prices. I mean, I think Neiman and Spieth are a tad on the short side.
That'd be good. We've talked through enough in the outright market.
Well, yeah, we've got to draw a line somewhere. We've got
work to do, haven't we? But
got lives to lead.
Let's move away from the outright market and let's go to some of the specials that you picked out for the Masters. Then, Steve, what's caught your eye going into it?
I'll give you four specials. The first one that caught my eye when I was looking at AK Bet's website earlier was winning score to be minus 10 or minus 11. Minus 10 or minus 11 is 9-2 with AK Bet's. And we got plenty of wind in the forecast over the first 2 days. I don't think there'd be many birdies around on Thursday or Friday. We've got some heavy rain on Thursday morning. I can see something like 3 under par leading on Saturday morning. And then I think the scoring will improve greatly over the weekend and then they get to double figures. So, yeah, minus 10 or minus 11, 9-2 with AK Bets. And then at a shorter price, I'm really interested in the top amateur market this year because I think the top amateur market is a two-runner race for me. And I'm going for Christo Lamprecht at 2-1 with AK Bets. Yeah, beast of a player. You immediately know who I'm talking about, don't you? Because he was low amateur. In the Open,
wasn't it, when he absolutely smashed it one round and then pressure got to him a bit and fell away.
But he still won the medal. He was low amateur and he's based in Georgia, James. He's based in Georgia. He goes to college in Georgia. I think he's going to be low amateur in this as well as low amateur in last year's Open. Powers of great advantage in the Masters, isn't it, on the par fives. And Lamprecht, one of the biggest hitters in the world already. And as I say, I think it's between Lamprecht and Stuart Hagestad, fascinating runner. You know, he qualifies he's qualified for many a Masters through winning that US mid-amateur event. He's got lots of Augusta experience. I mean, you could back Lamprecht and Hagestad. I cannot see any of the other amateurs getting involved in this. So, that was my second tops bet. And then I've got some bigger prices for you.
There we go. This is what I like. Get those big prices out.
This is what you like. Sepp Straka, top European. Yeah, we've already talked about Sepp Straka. Top European, 40-1 with AK Bets. Yeah, this is a less ambitious way of supporting a player who I think is going to make a mockery of his odds this week. You've got Rory McIlroy and John Rahm, short prices in that market. Straka's much better value. He's capable of beating both of those guys. So that's the biggest price special I've got for you. And then the final one is the winning margin to be 6 shots or more, which is 12-1 with AK Bets. You know, I can see Scotty Scheffler going clear in this event. If Scheffler putts well, this could be a cakewalk. I think there's some juice in that 12-1 because, you know, due to the majesty of Scotty Scheffler, you're not going to be surprised if he wins this tournament by 6 shots or more. No jaws are going to be hitting the floor. I think that's entirely feasible 12-1 chance.
Very good. What about when I've just sort of looked around in the specials? What about top lefty? Because there's only 5 lefties that are taking part. Yeah. Mike Weir is one of them, so he's straight out of the picture. Well, you've got Phil Mickelson, Bubba Watson, Akshay Bhatia, and then Brian Harman. Would you have a look at Bhatia, maybe 11-4 with AK Betts for that?
No, I was tempted by Brian Harman, but I didn't think the price was up to much. 5-4 Brian Harman, isn't he? Yeah, I did have a close look at that one. If AK Betts decides to push Brian Harman out a little bit, I may get involved because I think Harman will win that market. I mean, Bhatia's shoulder, we don't know the condition of Bhatia's shoulder. He may be fully fit, but you know, he's a debutant, whereas Harman has got experience. I remember back in Brian Harman outright, he finished 12th. He finished 12th 2 or 3 years ago. He's got Augusta experience. I think Harman will play well. His iron play was really on point. He played so well at Sawgrass, finished second at Sawgrass. He was thrilled with his iron play. His iron play was it was disappointing last week in the Texas Open, but he putted supremely well. So if he can marry that iron play of Sawgrass with his putting of last week, I think Harman is a reasonable top 20 bet this week. And I would expect him to win top left-hander. I'm not expecting anything from Phil Mickelson. I'm not expecting anything from Bubba Watson. They were asking Bubba Watson, where they're asking all the LIV guys last week, have you been to Augusta since the last event? And a few of them said yes. They've been on reconnaissance missions. Most of them had. Bubba Watson just went, no. Nah. Yeah, I think he just has fun now, doesn't he, Bubba Watson? He doesn't really care. He's got his two green jackets. He's not going to win anything else of any significance. So, yeah, I think you've got, yeah, he's almost a ceremonial golfer now, Bubba Watson. Phil Mickelson, I think he won't repeat. I can't see him repeating last year's heroics. So Harman hasn't got hardly anything to beat. If you hear any whispers about Bhatia's shoulder still being in poor condition, then 5-4 Harman becomes a bet. But I just want a little bit more before I get involved in that.
Yeah, very good. And just not to drag on too long as well, but there are other specials on request if you want something from AK Betts going into the Masters. And tell you what, one that I'd maybe have a look at potentially is Justin Thomas. I was thinking not to make the cut. He's not. So there, obviously, at the end of 2023, start of 2024, he hit a run of five top fives in a row, I think it was, then a tied sixth at Pebble Beach. And everyone's thinking, oh, he's back. Then he's had a bit of drop-off in form. He split with his caddy 8 days before the Masters.
Yeah.
Something doesn't seem to be right in Thomas's world. And for him not to miss the cut, for him to miss the cut, which he did last year as well, that's maybe something to look at.
Yeah, such a strange move from JT to get rid of his caddy. Maybe it wasn't his decision. Maybe Bones decided he'd had enough because he couldn't bear to watch Justin Thomas putt anymore. I don't know. It may not have been a case of Thomas sacking Bones. It may have been vice versa, because Bones had a very lucrative career as a on-course reporter that was starting up until he couldn't resist the opportunity to be Justin Thomas's bagman. So yeah, we'll find out. These things take a little while to emerge, but we will find out the reasons for that split. But it's such a weird one because Bones has obviously won the Masters alongside Phil Mickelson. He's one of the best caddies you could possibly get going into Masters battle, and it's a negative that Thomas hasn't got him anymore. I think he's got Patrick Cantlay's old caddy on the bag. But yeah, you can't expect anything from Thomas. Yeah, the putter's like a live rattlesnake in his hands again now, isn't it? So every chance he could miss the cut, yeah.
Right, so that's a very extensive look at the Masters that we provided for you then. Now, let's just round up all of the selections that Steve has got then, the outrights and the specials that he's picked up, starting with the headline selection, Steve.
Scottie Scheffler.
Had to be Scheffler for this one then. Let's just reel off 2, 3, 4 in quick succession.
Bryson DeChambeau, Sahith Theegala and Sepp Straka.
There we go. There are your 4 outright selections. And then the specials which we've been looking at, Steve.
Winning score to be -10 or -11 at 9-2 with AK Betts. Christo Lamprecht, top amateur, 2-1 with AK Betts. Sepp Straka, top European, 40-1. And winning margin of 6 shots or more, 12-1.
There you have it. There's all the tips rounded up for you. Now, before we go, just to again reiterate, thank you very much for watching, by the way, but the Sweet Spot watch along that we have on Sunday, we mentioned Jack will be here, Steve will be here, and some special guests. Have you heard anything on the grapevine, Steve, about who could be making an appearance?
Well, Jack is definitely back. You thought he was back this week, didn't you? But he's actually gone to Gay Paris, I believe. But
how's he got a Masters week off?
I mean,
An email needs to go to HR, I think.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. But he's back on Sunday. Assures me he's back on Sunday for the watch along. And then, yeah, we got all sorts. I mean, I'm not privy to the guest list either, but I have heard that Brendan the Duke is on Juicy. Brendan the Duke is a Twitter superstar, big celebrity in the betting industry. So hopefully we can get Brendan to stay on for an hour or two.
Yeah, very good. Well, that is 7:30 p.m. on Sunday. Join us then for the Sweet Spot Watch Along. It is live on the Racing Post YouTube and Facebook pages. Thank you very much, Steve, for all of your hard work again for this latest edition of the Sweet Spot. Until then, until we're back next week, or on Sunday, I should say, for the Watch Along, gamble safely, responsibly, and enjoy the golf. Goodbye.